There was this philosopher once. I don't know his name. Look it up yourself if you want. And he said that he knew the secret of life, that true happiness could be found if only you walked a path of morality and decency. Well, hey, I'm no Albert Einstein, and no one gives squat for what I say, but I think our ancient friend may have missed the point somewhere. I've got nothing against the odd bit of decency every once in a while, and morality is fine as a weekend hobby, but neither of them are gonna pay my rent, you follow? Not on the mean streets where I do my job, buddy.
Hello? Private investigator? No, this isn't the laundry. The number you want is 671-4342. 4342. That's right. Not at all. Goodbye.
On my office door, it says private investigator. But that's because the client likes the job to sound pretty and polite. What I am is a lot uglier than that. I'm a Seamus. I'm a snoop. I'm the guy who ferrets through your trash cans looking for clues, and I'm paid not to mind the smell. For the right money, I'm the guy who'll find all the answers, and if the money is even righter, I'm the guy who'll look the other way when he gets them. I'm a penguin with attitude.
Private investigator? No, 4342. Wait, before you go. Whilst you're having your shirt starched, you don't want a bit of investigating done, you know, privately? I'll ferret through your trash cans looking for... No? Okay! You know best. Bye, Ben.
My friends call me Frobisher. My enemies call me Mr. Frobisher. And the junk mail department of the Galactic Reader's Digest call me Mrs. F.R. Rubbisher when they write and tell me I may already have won 30,000 Azumas in their special prize draw. But that's neither here nor there. On the day in question, I was looking through one such Reader's Digest letter, thinking that 30,000 Azumas would go down very well right now. It had been weeks since my last job, the case of the absconded feline, and I was getting antsy for work. Just as I resigned myself to another day of hard drinking and soft living, I heard a noise outside my door. With one flipper, I reached for the bottle of bourbon, with the other for my automatic pistol. I've learned that both are the best friends a Seamus can have. This way, whether my visitor was friend or foe, one of the flippers would have something suitable to offer him. Boldly, I called out for the stranger to come in.
Come in. Oh, it's you.
Hello, Frobisher. My word, you're as white as a sheet. Very unusual for a penguin. Makes you look quite exotic. Are you all right?
Yeah, sure, I'm fine. Why wouldn't I be?
Well, you are pointing a gun at me. Oh, and a bottle of something vaguely alcoholic.
Sorry.
It's hard to tell which one would be the more lethal.
His friends called him the doctor. His enemies did, too. And the Galactic Reader's Digest never called him anything, because he wasn't the type to get junk mail.
Do you usually threaten your clients? I mean, I'm not criticizing, just curious.
You can't be too careful in a job like mine, Doc.
Well, I dare say you know best. So, this is your office, is it? Oh dear, it's a bit grimy, isn't it?
I like it grimy.
Well, yes, I know, but there's grime, isn't there? I mean, are the walls meant to be that shiny brown, or is it something growing on them?
Perhaps you could tell me what it is you want, Doc.
I had employed the doctor as my assistant on numerous occasions. He might not look like much, but underneath the unruly curly hair and the garish multicolored coat, there is a mind with a deductive skill nearly equal to my own. I strictly work freelance, but I was so impressed by his potential that I had many times considered offering him full-time employment.
You know, I think these stains are alive, Frobisher. Fascinating.
Now was not one of those times.
Have you brought me a case or what?
A case? Oh, no, nothing like that. Well, I was just wondering if you'd got bored yet. Well, you know, of this private investigator thing. The TARDIS is parked just round the corner. We can be off round the universe in next to no time.
This private investigator thing, as you call it, is not a hobby.
No, of course not.
It's a vocation.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, you've been here 3 weeks now, playing detective. I thought by now you might want to resume our travels, fighting monsters, saving planets, that sort of thing.
No, I don't think...
Since I dropped you off, I've had such a time of it, you wouldn't believe. There was this planet I went to. Helped the rebels overthrow the corrupt tyrants in charge. Then I nipped forward 100 years, found out all the rebels had got corrupt in the meantime, and had to overthrow them as well. I foiled 3 invasions of Earth, saved the universe twice...
I'm not coming with you.
What? Sorry?
My place is here, on the mean streets.
Oh. I see.
I don't mean to hurt your feelings, Doc, but...
No.
I got tired of being with you in the TARDIS, always playing second fiddle to you, with you being the one who always saves the day. I'm a private investigator, for Pete's sake. I went to private investigator college, got my private investigator diploma. See? There on the wall.
Yeah.
Second class. It would have been first class, too, but my tutor had something against avian species. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, no, to be honest.
I was once this lean, mean detecting machine. But since I joined you in the TARDIS, I've gone soft. I need to stand on my own 2 web feet. Quite frankly, Doc, you cramp my style. I said I didn't want to hurt your feelings.
And how many cases have you solved in these last 3 weeks?
Well, last week I was hired to find a missing cat.
Well done.
Thank you.
Did you find it?
Eventually. It was a very elusive cat.
Good for you.
Yes.
Did I mention I've just saved the universe twice?
Yes.
That's twice.
Yes, you did.
I thought I had. Yes. Well, I'd best be going. Mustn't take up any more of your valuable time.
Oh, don't be like that, Doc.
No. You're busy. Cats to find, clients to shoot. I understand.
I just need some time. You know, to find myself, and to find plenty of blackmail, intrigue, and high-octane danger. I used to be so good at this, I need to know if I can still do it.
Maybe if I stuck around for a while, things usually get interesting, if I'm here.
No.
I wouldn't get involved or anything, just give you a bit of a start.
No.
No. All right. This is goodbye, then.
Doc.
Sure, I felt like a heel. But what could I do? It's a deadly world out there, and I can't spare sentiment for broken friendships and hurt feelings. 2 might be company for the crooners of love songs, but a Seamus needs to work alone. The only time I didn't, I... But no, I'm not going there. I didn't want to upset the Big Lug, but knew that if he came right back, I'd give him the same answer with steely resolve.
Okay, Doc, you win. I'm sorry, you're right. Let us go off in the TARDIS, and I... You're not the Doc.
You're right. I guess that's why they call you a private eye.
A private eye? Yes. Yes, I guess they do at that. Would you like to sit down?
Another masterful deduction. I can see that my affairs will be in safe... flippers.
Where your affairs are concerned, lady, my flippers are ready and waiting for anything you want to give me. Please, sit down.
She didn't so much walk across the floor as sashay. Here was a woman whose feet didn't do the moving so much as the contours of her trim hips. When she pulled up a chair, it squawked across the wooden floor as if excited by her attention.
Are you free to take on a little work for me, Mr. Frobisher?
Hey, I'm free, but my services aren't. I don't come cheap.
I do hate talking about money. It's so vulgar and dirty.
I don't have the luxury to care. I'm worth 12 mazumas a day plus expenses.
And that, Mr. Frobisher, is as cheap as they come.
Okay, so I'm cheap, but honey, I'm sincere. Can I offer you a drink?
It is a policy of mine never to drink with paid staff.
But you haven't paid me yet. We could pretend we're the best of pals and get quietly stewed.
I don't need your bourbon. I carry my own in a thigh flask.
The sight of that thigh flask was the most truly stimulating thing I had ever seen. I found goosebumps on my flippers where I never knew goosebumps could grow. She caught me looking at her,
Would you mind not staring quite so obviously at my legs?
I'm sorry. I thought that the display was for my benefit.
I could go. You're not the only private eye in town.
No, but I'm the nearest, barely half a meter away across the table. Why not tell me your name?
I'm Alicia Mulholland from the Mulholland Estate. Perhaps you've heard of me.
No, but I doubt I'll forget it now. You came here with a case. Tell me all about it.
This was no ordinary dame. This was a dame with a capital D-A. Perfect like cut glass and just as cold. If she'd been a stick of candy rock, you could have snapped her in two and seen the word classy running through her center.
Mr. Frobisher!
What? Sorry, what?
You asked me to tell you all about it?
Oh, sorry, yeah, got a little lost back there.
My problem is a little sordid, Mr. Frobisher. I'm sure it's a story you've heard 100 times before. Boy meets girl. Girl meets boy. Boy swears undying love to girl and proposes marriage. Girl accepts offer, chooses a dress, and sends out wedding invitations. Boy gets a bit bored and plays around on the side.
If you're the girl in this story, lady, then this is one lunatic boy we're talking about.
Thank you for that, at least. I want you to follow my fiancé, see where he goes, see whom it is he's warming with his embraces, whilst I sit at home waiting for someone to warm me.
You're quite sure there's somebody else? Maybe he's just got an evening hobby, stamp collecting or amateur dramatics. It's hard to believe any man would cheat on you.
It's another woman. I know. I love Arthur Gringrax. I still love him with all my heart. If he truly wants this other person, then I will let him go. But I have to know. Have you ever been in love, Mr. Frobisher?
Yeah, once. Long time ago now.
Then you understand.
I understand.
Here. This is Arthur's address. He leaves there every night at 9 o'clock, and here is his photograph.
I looked at the picture and could hardly believe it. The face of a piggy little man stared up at me, balding, with crooked teeth and wonky gums. What could she see in a man like that? And how could a man like that cheat on a woman like her? And how could a man like me accept a case from a woman like her to tail a man like that when I wanted it to be her and me, and not him and her? You could see the ethical problem I was facing.
I'll take the case.
Good. You will disguise yourself, won't you? My fiancé is vaguely humanoid. He's not the most observant man, but even he might notice he's being followed by a 4-foot-tall penguin.
Don't worry. I'm a master of disguise. Watch this.
See, no problem at all, lady. What do you think?
I don't suppose you could be a less conspicuous humanoid, someone whose colors don't give one a headache.
Well, I suppose it's something I could work on.
No, there's no time for that. It has to be tonight. It'll have to do.
I promise. I'll do my best for you.
Thank you.
And for the first time, she smiled at me. Vivid red lips against that almond white skin. She got up to go, and for a second I thought she wouldn't look back. Then she turned her head and looked at me, full on.
If you need anything, anything at all, just quack. You know how to quack, don't you?
Well, no, I'm a penguin, not a duck.
Just stiffen your beak and vibrate.
Quack.
It took a few hours for my beak to stop vibrating, and a few hours on top of that for me to perfect my disguise. Standing in the mirror, I looked every inch the image of my old associate, the doctor. From the top of his head to the tip of his toes and the girth of his waist, somewhere roughly halfway between the two.
Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me? You must be. I'm the only Gallifreyan Time Lord here. Ha! Huh. Oh, the hair's a bit tight. Just let out the coils a bit. Yeah, that's better.
I know what you're thinking. Am I choosing to look like the doctor was some sort of annoying conscience thing because of the way we'd broken up? But that's not it at all. As a Wifferdil, I really ought to be able to change shape into virtually anything. But I've always found the humanoid form rather tricky. All those weird little appendages hanging everywhere, which, as far as I can see, don't do anything at all. So I just had to pick a body I was more or less familiar with. But I admit, looking into the face of my old friend, I did get the odd pang of guilt.
Oh, Doc. Wherever you're currently saving the universe, I hope you're all right.
But enough of that. I had adventures of my own to get on with. The address I had been given took me to a more fashionable side of the city than the one I was used to. The buildings were still stark and gray, but the dirt was a little more upmarket. I hid in the shadows, waiting for Arthur Gringrax to emerge. The weather turned as sour and soggy as my mood, and I wondered whether Gringrax would bother coming out at all. But Miss Mulholland was right. Dead on time, there he was, stepping out onto the pavement, looking around furtively, and then heading off down the street. I had hoped he might take a cab. I'd always wanted to say to someone, "Follow that cab." Hey, that's why I got into the private eye racket in the first place. But he was obviously too much of a skinflint for that. He didn't deserve her, I thought, as we walked through the driving rain, me wishing I was still wearing waterproof flippers. This two-bit, land-faced taxi-avoiding, furtive-looking nobody, who hadn't got an ounce of the charisma or personality Alicia deserved, and which could be found, purely for example, in me. I had just begun planning our honeymoon destination when Gringrax pulled up short and looked around again. I dived out of sight into an alleyway gracefully. Satisfied he hadn't been seen, Gringrax went up the stairs to a hotel. I peered through the window as he took a key from the receptionist, nodded curtly, then went up the stairs. This was my cue. I took a deep breath and walked through the revolving doors myself.
Hey, get out of here, gringo. No room. We're full.
Yeah, well, it's not a room I'm wanting. No offense, buddy, but I'd rather sleep somewhere I'll wake the next day without a skin disease. It's information I'm buying.
Information I'm selling, if the color of your money is right.
I've got 20 mazumas. Which room is Arthur Gringrax in, and who's he seeing there?
20 mazumas. For 20 mazumas, I see nothing.
And he grinned mockingly at me, showing a row of broken teeth. I wanted to slap him around a bit, but it looked like someone had got there before me. One tooth seemed to have a gold stud in it, but I think he just painted it yellow for effect.
Oh, go on. Please.
You go now. Go or throw your multicolored butt out into the street. You're savvy?
Gringrax, what room is he in?
I will not tell you.
Which room, I said?
323, third floor, up the stairs.
Stay here and call the cops.
And I raced up the stairs. Not for the last time in this investigation. I wished I was wearing a more aerodynamic body. Quite how the doctor is able to run up and down quite so many corridors, I have no idea.
Gringrax! Open up in there! Come out, I'm armed!
Which I wasn't, of course. I thought about packing a gun, but it ruined the line of my multicolored pockets.
All right, I'm coming in!
I forced the door open with my shoulder, and remembered once again just how much more painful that is than in the movies.
Yeah, ouch! Ooh. All right, okay, I'm in. Give yourself up, whoever you are. And nobody even think about shooting me, okay?
Silence was the only response. An ominous silence as dark as the room. My least favorite kind of silence, as it happens. My eyes tried to adjust, and I could see a pencil strip of light under the bathroom door. I edged toward it slowly.
Ouch!
Taking care not to hit any furniture on the way. I stood outside the door, willing the courage to push it open, dreading what I might find on the other side.
Holy mackerel!
There was no murderer waiting to cave my head in. That was the good news. There was no body, either. Instead, there was a huge pool of blood, sitting in a thick mass on the tiled floor. Every few seconds, the neon light advertising cheap liquor across the street illuminated it in all its deep red gore. Almost in spite of myself, I bent down to look at the blood more closely.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
The blood was still warm. You could tell without touching, a faint steam was rising off it,
Was this all that was left of Arthur Gringrax? And still I looked closer. Still I moved my hand toward the pool of blood and touched it. And the blood flinched. I couldn't believe my eyes. So, feeling green with nausea and pale with fear, I stretched my hand toward it once more and prodded it, harder this time. And the blood moved away from me, as if it were a creature I had disturbed in its sleep.
Hands up, and get to your feet. Easy, not too fast. Good. Now, turn around slowly.
Three guns pointing at me, three cops.
Hey, am I glad to see someone from the law enforcement side of things?
Shut up. Frisk him, boys.
Hey, easy, guys. Easy. We haven't even been introduced.
He's clean, boss.
Not anymore, I'm not. You big apes will have paw prints all over my coat. Now I'll have to have it dry cleaned.
I was babbling. I looked closely at the police officer. He looked almost entirely unlike Peter Lorre.
A wise ass, eh? And what's your name, Mr. Wise-Ass?
They call me Mr. Frobisher. I'm a private eye.
Never heard of you.
Well, I never heard of you either, pal, so I guess that makes us mutually ignorant.
My name is Elroy Chandler, head of police in the city. And the man who is placing you under arrest, Mr. Wise-Ass private eye person.
Is it all safe, though? No more with the shooting and the killing? Hey, what happened to the door? The gringo has broken my door.
Keep him quiet.
You don't seriously think I had anything to do with this?
It doesn't matter what I think. We're not paid to have imaginations. We have got a murder. And now we've got a murderer. All neat and tidy. Okay, solved.
Why, if there's been a murder, where's the body? You can't arrest me without a body.
Take him, boys. The boss will want to see him.
Hey,
and what about my door? Do you know how much these things cost?
How much would you need? To pay for the door, and to pay for your silence. Sorry you forget this evening ever happened.
I don't know. Perhaps 100 Mizumas? 100 big M's, and I make sure I never say nothing to no one. What do you say?
No. Too expensive. You're under arrest, too.
But
take him to the cells, Malone.
What am I charged with?
We'll think of something. Nice and sticky with a long enough sentence to make sure you really do say nothing to no one.
But you can't do this!
I'm guessing you didn't join the police force out of any sense of civic responsibility, then.
As for you, Mr. Wise-Ass, we're going on a little journey.
Oh, yeah? Anywhere nice? Have I time to pack?
No need for that. It's strictly a one-way journey.
I was bundled into a police car. And not too gently, either.
Can I have the sirens on, boss? Can I?
Oh, go on, then. Just for a little while. I need to consider the implications of this.
Gee, thanks, boss.
Chandler, I've been thinking. You cops arrived very quickly at the scene of the crime, a little too quickly, in fact, which means you were already there. You were already watching the hotel. The question is, why? Tell me, Chandler. What is your interest in Arthur Gringrax?
I've been knocked unconscious a lot in my job. Rather than see it as an occupational hazard, it's something I've come almost to enjoy. Gives me a chance to catch 40 winks, if nothing else. I felt the familiar swirling blackness, a faint taste of blood in my mouth, and a strangely comforting sense of nostalgia. I came to all too soon for my liking. The floor was carpeted, but even with my eyes closed, I could tell this wasn't a pretty carpet, with bright colors and fun patterns on it. No, this felt like the sort of carpet a dangerous man would own. I saw no mileage in opening my eyes just yet, so lay there hoping I'd hear something useful.
Thank you, Mr. Chandler. I shall see that you are adequately compensated for your efforts.
What are you going to do with Frobisher? Are you going to kill him?
Not squeamish, Mr. Head of Police, surely.
Of course not. But we did agree that for turning a blind eye to murder, I'd get more than my usual cut.
Well, really, Mr. Chandler, I can't tell yet. I might wreak murder. I might merely wreak grievous bodily harm. We'll have to see how the fancy takes me. Mr. Elgar.
Yeah, boss?
Tip me the wink if we do end up murdering Mr. Frobisher, and I'll put in a little extra for the police benevolent fund.
That's very generous of you.
Not at all. I always believe in honor where money is concerned. You think for a moment I believe you'd show me even the slightest shred of loyalty, Mr. Chandler, if I didn't pay you for it? Do you like me?
If you want me to like you, I'll... Or not, if you don't, whichever you prefer, sir.
You mustn't think I'm angry, Mr. Chandler. No, not a bit of it. It's all commerce, my dealings with you, my dealings with Elgar here. All commerce, buying, selling, and market forces, a friendship the world over. And to show that we are still friends, here, an extra mazuma, just for you, at Mr. Elgar's feet. Pick it up. That's it. Well done. You can leave by the tradesman's entrance.
Shall I wake him up, boss?
Oh, Mr. Frobisher has been awake for quite some time already, haven't you? Mr. Frobisher.
Just trying to get a bit of shut-eye. Hard to do with all your talking going on.
Quite so. But now I think it's time we had a... conversation all of our own, don't you think?
I had a go at giving a laconic shrug, and realized I couldn't pull it off in a prostrate position. So I sat up, did the laconic shrug thing, and opened my eyes at last, and couldn't help but reel in shock.
What is it? Don't you like what you see?
Some men are so rich and powerful that they are famous throughout the galaxy. And everyone knows their name. Elias Thinspoon, Olgarth Zeus III, Ronald McDonald. But then there are those who are so much richer and more powerful still that they can ensure that no one knows them. Josiah W. Dogbolter was so rich and powerful that he was, to all intents and purposes, almost entirely anonymous. He pulled the financial strings on 1,000 worlds. And barely a single one of the slaves in his thrall knew who it was who had enslaved them.
I'm curious, Mr. Frobisher. Did you kill Mr. Greengrax?
No. Did you?
What interest do you have in my late employee?
Greengrax worked for you?
Anyone who's anyone works for Mr. Dogballer.
Quite a few besides who are barely worth mentioning.
But Greengrax was worth mentioning, wasn't he? He was even worth killing.
Hardly. I had never heard of the man before yesterday. Just another meaningless cog in the machine.
Then what happened to change that? Why is Greengrax now so special to you?
Well, perhaps you can tell me. Before he had his unfortunate accident, did you find something interesting in Mr. Greengrax's apartment?
Well, his spreading bloodstain was kind of interesting.
Come. I think you know there's something to which I am referring.
Ah, you've lost me, pal.
Don't talk to the boss like that, or I'll end up doing something violent.
Well, let me see. What sort of something were you looking for?
Oh, I don't know. Just something. Something distinctive. Something I'm sure that would stand out. Catch your eye.
I can't help you unless you drop the cryptic crossword clues. Now, there's no use your pet dog growling at me like that. Now that I feel much inclined to help you anyway, being manhandled tends to do that to my good Samaritan impulses.
Well, obviously I will pay you for your services.
I'm already employed.
Mr. Frobisher, please understand. There are two kinds of people who live on this planet. Those who work for me, and those who are going to do so in the future. I would like to offer you some money so that you can move from the latter category into the former.
I already have a client. I can't take two jobs at once. I'm sure a man in your position will understand. It's a little thing called business etiquette.
Oh, I know your sort, Mr. Frobisher. You're Seamus, a hard-bitten, hard-living gumshoe with no allegiance to anybody or anything.
Yeah.
You'll work for me if I ask you politely enough.
Afraid not. Sorry.
Well, she must be paying you a lot of money.
12 mazumas? Plus expenses?
12 mazumas? I would pay you 10 times as much. 20 times as much. Ah, look around you, Mr. Frobisher. Can't you see how much money I have?
Very nice.
You see these pictures over here? Van Gogh. A Bruegel. An original John Ridgway. Do you know how much they are worth?
You have them turned to face the wall.
I don't want to look at them. They're too distracting. Their job is to represent my wealth, not to be pretty. I have more money than you can imagine, Mr. Frobisher. Please, let us not allow 12 measly mazumas to stand in the way of our new friendship.
12 mazumas plus expenses.
And he looked at me properly, I think, for the first time. I tried to meet his gaze unflinchingly. I didn't succeed. Two black, bulbous eyes stared me down from behind a veil of thick cigar smoke. Dog Bolter was half-man, half-giant frog. There were stories that he was the son of two perfectly ordinary humans, who were so repulsed by his looks they threw him out to die on the streets. Other stories suggest he was the offspring of two perfectly ordinary frogs, who, just as horrified, had done the same thing. One thing was clear. This was one dangerous hybrid with a chip on his amphibious membrane.
It seems we cannot reach an agreement.
No, I guess we can't.
It seems you are stupider than I took you for.
It seems so.
No, sir. I won't take up any more of your time. Elgar, why not give Mr. Frobisher a ride home?
Yeah, boss.
Oh, I really wouldn't trouble.
No, believe me, I insist. Elgar, no trace, no nothing. While mystery to me, Mr. Frobisher. Were I a more patient man, I would be intrigued.
Thank you.
Unfortunately, I am not patient. Goodbye, Mr. Frobisher.
For the second time in one night, I was forced into a car. My new companion wasn't taken with my conversation, and to prove the point, demonstrated a neat trick of driving with one hand on the steering wheel and the other clasped tightly around my throat. I would have congratulated him on his dexterity, had I the breath or suppleness of larynx required.
Get out. Journey over.
You know, I don't live on the top of this very high cliff, but I guess you know that.
I said get out! The boss says he wants no trace left.
You can't be serious. You're gonna push me over the edge?
No.
Oh, that's something.
I'm gonna throw you over the edge.
Oh, terrific. A henchman with a sense of humor, my favorite.
Before you die, the boss... He says, no hard feelings. And here, your 12 mazumas fee.
He's gonna pay me, then kill me?
Of course. To Mr. Dog Bolter, money and death, all are one to him. Now, goodbye.
12 mazumas plus expenses! I said, plus expenses!
No expenses without a receipt.
In the blackness, I couldn't tell how far I had to fall. I had to change shape into something quickly. But what? A fish? Yes. But saltwater or freshwater? The wrong decision could be just as fatal as if I landed as an elephant. An oyster? Crab? Submarine? Orange lightweight dinghy? No. That's just crazy talk. Oh, it's obvious. What was I thinking of?
Hello, Frobisher!
Doc! Hey, Doc, am I glad to see you? Oh, yeah, hi, Doc. Long time no see. Looking well.
That was quite a dive you took there. Are you all right?
Hey, yeah. I'm a private eye. I've got it all sorted. So, how's Trix? I thought you were off to save the universe.
Oh, I've done that. Again. Yes, I just thought I'd pop back, you know, and see how you are.
Well, couldn't be better. Right in the middle of a case at the moment, as it happens.
Are you? Oh, good.
Oh, yes. Ready to bust it wide open any time now. Just as soon as I find out what the case is actually about.
I was just thinking, well, so silly, really. Maybe you changed your mind. Well, it is a very big TARDIS, you know, and saving universes is all very well, but it's not nearly as much fun on your own.
Gee, Doc, you know, it's tempting, but you know how it is.
The truth is, I'm lonely. There, I said it. I'm lonely.
Yeah? Well, but I can't leave right now. I've just got to the stage where people are trying to kill me.
Yeah, well, fair enough. That is when it all does start to get interesting.
Some other time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I'll be off then.
Yes, Doc. Bye.
Yeah. Oh, and Frobisher.
Yeah.
You've got seaweed on your beak.
Oh. Yeah, well, thanks.
The old penguin suit fitted me like a glove, and it was comforting and warm after the night's experiences. But I had a lot to figure out, and knew that staying in character would be the best way to do it. By the time I had crawled wearily up the stairs to my office, I had changed back into the doctor's body once more. There was someone inside my office, looking around. I cursed myself once again that I hadn't brought my gun. The door pushed open at my touch.
Good evening, Miss Mulholland.
Frobisher?
You look surprised to see me, which is odd seeing how this is my office. Or maybe you're just surprised to see me alive.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I take it you just couldn't wait till morning to hear the results of my investigation.
Yes, that's it.
Sure it is. Well, I followed Arthur, like you said. Turns out he's shacked up with a nice young barmaid called Gloria.
Oh?
Yeah, long legs, nice smile, not much going on upstairs. But you can't have everything. What's the matter? Those were the sort of results you were expecting?
Yes, of course. Well, if you'll send me your invoice. Thank you, and good night.
He's a lucky dog. I told him. Arthur, I said, you're a lucky dog.
Indeed.
Never heard of a man called Dog Bolter. Dog Bolter said, she must be paying me a lot of money. How did he know I had a female client?
I've never heard of Dog Bolter in my life.
I told her to skip it.
Skip it? You play me for a patsy and I don't like it. Sure, I can play a patsy when I have to. I can play a patsy like the best of them, but you're not paying me patsy playing prices. So you better talk now and tell me all you know. What's Gringrax to you?
You're right, of course. My interest in Arthur was purely professional.
You mean mercenary?
You're hardly in a position to criticize. Your loyalty can be bought for 12 mazumas a day. You and I, we're just the same. We take our business wherever we can find it.
Don't think for a second that I share your narrow views, lady.
Perhaps they are narrow. Maybe I should find someone who can broaden my horizons.
I was dying to ask her just how far she'd be prepared to have them brought.
You've seen through me. That's half the battle. The other half is, can you make me a better person, too?
All my training was going out the window. Before I gave in, I wanted to know. I had to know.
Tell me, honestly, did you kill Arthur Gringrax?
No.
I would believe whatever those red lips told me.
Kiss me.
Said the red lips. And I didn't need telling him twice. I was out of practice, but the old Frobisher tricks came flooding back to me. Oh, yes. I forgot I wasn't wearing a beak, so might have overcompensated a little, so as not to poke her eyes out. But I still think overall I did a pretty good job.
I love you.
And my body froze, like a penguin's ice lolly.
What was that you said?
I said, I love you. Do you?
Could you love me too?
Sure I could, baby.
Do you think when all this ugliness is behind us that maybe we might make a future together?
Sure we can.
Oh, Frobisher.
A nice, big, happy future. Sure, we can get a big house somewhere, you know? Out in the country, a farm, maybe. Yeah, we'll keep chickens. And we can have a family, do that children thing, and we can live happily ever after. Sounds real good, doesn't it, baby?
Sometimes I think, Mr. Frobisher, you have a heart of ice.
Yeah, just you believe that. It'll make it easier for you the day you throw me aside.
I won't do that.
Sure you will, baby. I never met a dame yet who wouldn't use love as a weapon and turn it on the first schmuck dumb enough to stare down the barrel. Love is for chumps, believe me. I know.
I think you must have been hurt very badly in the past. Who was she?
Francine. My ex-partner. In more ways than one. By day, we'd be solving crimes together. By night, we'd be making whoopee.
What happened?
Who knows? Maybe two Seamuses should never get too close. Or maybe nobody should get too close to nobody. Maybe it's as simple as that. I'll give you my lips, honey. But I'm not such a fool as to give you my heart.
Then I suppose I'll have to make do with your lips, won't I? Frobisher.
Don't stop now. I was just getting the hang of it.
Someone's holding a gun to my head.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Wiseass.
Why, Mr. Chandler? What are you going to arrest me for this time? Smooching without a license?
I'm not here on police business. Get your hands up, both of you.
We won't tell you anything.
Well, wait a minute. He's armed. We might be prepared to tell him something, surely.
I thought you'd be dead by now, Mr. Wiseass.
I'm sorry to disappoint you.
On the contrary, it makes my job that much easier. I thought I would have to search your office, but now you can simply tell me where the something is.
The something? Oh, this is the something that Dog Bolter was trying to find.
Quit stalling. I could kill you both and still tear this building apart to find it. I'll shoot your girlfriend first.
But I don't know what it is you're looking for.
He's telling the truth.
It would help if you gave me some idea what this something even looked like.
That's just it. And I don't know.
Ah.
All I know is that Dog Bolter wants it and wants it bad. He's almost frightened by it. I've never seen the frog show fear before. And that means it must be very powerful and very dangerous. You will give it to me now. I'll give you a count of three. Then the dame here dies. One. Two.
Oh, please! Honestly, I don't know where it is!
You idiot. He hasn't got the something. I have. And I have it hidden safe. And I'm not going to give it up because someone points a gun at me.
Very well. I won't point a gun at you.
Good.
I'll point a gun at Frobisher instead.
Oh, great. Good going, lady.
And now I'll give you a count to three. One, two, two and a half.
Alicia!
Two and three quarters. Come on, lady. I'm not playing games here.
If I give it to you, if, what would you do with it?
Turn it against Dog Bolter. Get rid of him once and for all. Do you think I like being his lackey?
You seem to be enjoying yourself from where I was standing.
Life is cheap for Dog Bolter. He buys us, but only keeps us alive as long as he finds us profitable. I'm not waiting around for that to happen to me. Give me the something.
No. Too risky. Your rebellion will fail, and the something will have been wasted.
You're really not in a position to refuse. Hand it over, or the Seamus dies.
You have to admit it. You've got a very good point.
You know Dog Bolter well, of course.
Of course.
Do you really believe that he will allow you to betray him?
He won't be able to stop me once I have the something. Whatever it is.
Do you believe he doesn't know you're here right at this very moment?
No. He can't, though. If he knew, he would have stopped me.
He's used you, Chandler. He's used you to find us. He'll have put a tracking device on you somewhere. It's Dog Bolter's way. I know him better than you can possibly imagine. And now that you've led him to me, I would imagine he has no further use for you.
What do you mean?
If he can put a bug on you without you realizing, I dare say a smart bomb or two wouldn't cause him any difficulty either.
What can I do? Tell me, what should I look for?
You want my advice, Chandler?
Yes.
I think you're going to die. Probably very, very soon. You know, it's ironic.
Whilst you were too incompetent to find what Dog Walter wanted, he still had a reason to keep you alive. Now you've succeeded, you've signed your own death warrant.
Oh, that's terrible. We gotta help him.
Oh, yes. Look, that'd be it.
It's a Mazuma coin.
He gave it to me today. Ow! It burns! I can't get it off my skin!
We gotta do something!
Absolutely. I suggest we take cover.
Help me!
I'm sorry, Mr. Chandler. Goodbye.
No!
Oh, my God.
A very smart bomb indeed. Just smart enough to destroy Chandler and leave everything else unharmed. Dog Bolter must be frightened he could damage the something in the blast. Lucky for us.
Poor Chandler.
Not so lucky for him.
I can't believe... How can you be so callous? I was kissing you only a couple of minutes ago.
Dog Bolter will now know where to find us. We'll have to get out of here, and fast.
Too late.
Is there a back door?
Afraid not. I could barely afford a quick one.
You two, come with me.
Hey, don't you guys ever get any sleep?
You come with me now, or I damage you and carry you out.
No, no, we're walking. We're walking. After you, Miss Mulholland.
Thank you. I know the way.
I watched the rundown building where I had rented my office disappear out the back of the car, and felt a pang of affection. I knew, deep down, whatever happened, I'd never see it again. I looked across at Alicia, calmly powdering her nose. I didn't know what her game was. Didn't feel I could ever trust her. But boy, did she have style. She caught my reflection in her mirror and looked at me quizzically. Then, with a suddenness that took my breath away, she reached across and kissed me on the lips.
Hey, what was that for?
Just in case I never see you again.
Hey, come on, don't go to pieces on me. I'll get you out of this. You're gonna be all right.
I know I'm going to be all right. It was you I was worried about.
Oh.
Inside.
My dear Mr. Frobisher, what a pleasure it is to renew your acquaintance.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you how much I've been looking forward to seeing you again. And with good reason.
And the beautiful Miss Mulholland. If I had any appreciation of the mammalian form, I'm quite sure I would be palpitating with desire. The delight is all mine.
Indeed it is.
So, how is the investigation proceeding, Mr. Frobisher?
I told you I wouldn't work for you.
Yes, but... That was a joke, surely.
Last time I saw you, you tried to kill me.
Oh, not very seriously. I had Elgar throw you off the cliff as a sort of initiative test. I knew that if you survived, you'd be the right man for the job.
Yeah, most people just ask for a CV and a reference from a past employer.
So, I take it we are friends now. All good friends.
Sure. Why not? You, me, the dame, and laughing boy here holding a gun to my head.
Let him go, Elgar. Mr. Frobisher is being cooperative.
Okay, boss.
You can always put the gun back when he starts being uncooperative again.
I can assure you I will be as uncooperative as possible. Torture me if you want. You will never get the information you want from me.
Do you know, Elgar, I think she's right. Take her away.
Shall I kill her?
Yes. No, I might still have a use for her.
Come on.
Don't tell him anything, Frobisher. Whatever you do.
So? Just the two of us. We can talk. Man to man.
Or man to reasonable approximation. Look, if I tell you what you want, what will you give me in return?
Well, I suppose you'll want something mundane, like your life.
Nah, not at all. I knew I was dead the moment I stepped through those doors.
Well, then what do you want?
Some information of my own. What is this something you're looking for?
Ah, well, I suppose you deserve that at least. Take a seat, Mr. Frobisher.
Thank you.
Now, what is your grasp of economics?
Shaky. You don't need much economics on just 12 mazumas a day.
Plus expenses.
Exactly.
Well, Mr. Frobisher, the situation is this. Most of the planets I control make me money because of what they make. Anything from cruise missiles to milk bottle tops. If there's a market, I'll exploit it. That plastic chair you're sitting in, That's one of mine. Manufactured on Metazoola Beta.
No. Well, it's not very comfortable. The plastic is sticking to my clothes, and there's a spring poking me in the backside.
But of course, we don't make things well. There's no real market in fulfilling demand. Our bottle tops are likely to cause the milk to dribble out into the fridge, and our cruise missiles probably explode on the ground. Mediocrity, Mr. Frobisher. The mundane, the unimaginative. That's where the big bucks are.
I see. And what does this planet make? Badly, naturally.
Now this planet is unique. It doesn't make anything. The economy is at exactly the right level that I can make far more money by keeping things precisely as they are. I bought out all the other companies and industries. I shut them down. This is the only manufacturing plant on the planet, and it hasn't made anything for a good century or so. I can't even remember what this company did before I bought it and groomed it the way I wanted it. Bourbon?
Sure. Why not?
It's good stuff. Imported, of course.
So what do your workers do all day?
They sit at their desks. They stare at blank computers. They fill out their timesheets. There's nothing else for them to do.
That sounds very boring.
Oh, I give them a few buttons to press, you know, every once in a while, just to keep them awake. Not that the buttons actually do anything, of course. The economy is delicately poised. If just one button worked, somebody might actually create something, and then, well, there'd be chaos.
But someone has created something, haven't they? Arthur Greengrax.
Yes.
What is it?
I don't know. None of us know. Security cameras picked up that this low-grade button presser had made something in his lunch hour. We couldn't tell what, but, well, that hardly matters. Something was created, and it only takes one something, one new something somebody wants, and suddenly they'll multiply, there'll be somethings everywhere. Before you know it, the somethings will inspire other somethings. They'll become anythings and everythings. The planet will turn into a thriving industry once more. And where will my profits be then, eh? Have you finished your bourbon?
Not quite.
Not true, Mr. Frobisher.
Hey.
You have finished your bourbon. And I have finished my lecture. Now, it's your turn. What information have you for me?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing. Zip, zilch, nada.
Nothing, you say. Oh, dear. Elgar.
Dear boss.
Step into my office. I have a spot of bother here.
Dear boss.
You can't threaten me with your thugs. I shan't tell you whether something is.
Elgar. Good man. Come in. And stand just about, here. Good. Now, tell me. Do you know what the something is?
No, boss.
And you don't know where it is?
No, boss.
So you could say you have no information for me at all?
No, boss.
Fine.
Why do you do that for? He was on your side.
Oh, more than that. He was like a son to me. A particularly ugly and twisted son, but a son, nevertheless. But perhaps I didn't make myself clear.
I will kill every last person on this planet to get that something! I will personally rip off Miss Mulholland's head in front of you! And then everyone else in this building, one by one, until you tell me what it is I need to know!
And now, may I assume you will rethink your position?
And he stared at me hard, this mad green frog with eyes now glowing as red as the ash tip on his hateful cigar. And I realized something. I'm not a hero. That's not me. That's the doctor. I'm just a private eye. Not a very good one at that. The kind who's more comfortable finding a missing cat than playing with guns and cheating death. I would like to say that what I did next was all part of some plan. That, like the doctor, I had something up my sleeve. But I hadn't.
It's in my office.
Are you sure?
It must be. I assume that Alicia was searching my office for the something. She must have been hiding it there instead.
Good. Where?
My office is a pigsty. She's a dame, isn't she? They don't go in for mess the way men do. If there's anywhere you can find that's tidy, it'll be there.
Dogbolt has sent one of his men to my office. He politely suggested that it would be better if I continued to accept his hospitality in the meantime. Those were the words he used, too, as he smiled at me over the bloody corpse on his carpet. Alicia was brought up to wait with us. She sat there in one of those horrid plastic chairs of his, eyes ahead, not looking at me, refusing to look at me.
Alicia?
But when I reached out for her hand, she seemed to hold it tightly enough.
Have you got it? Bring it in here. Oh, well, it's a small package, isn't it? Who would have thought, my dear friends, that something so very small could have given us all so much trouble? Well, very well. Put it down there. Well, it took too long to bring it. I've had time to smoke 5 cigars and drink 7 glasses of bourbon. I am too busy to deal with you now, but if I'm in a bad mood this evening, I may well summon you and kill you. Now, leave me. Well, 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 well. Here it is. Here it is.
And what are you going to do with it now you've got it?
Well, destroy it, of course. Yes, hideous created thing. Ridiculous bit of imagination. And yet...
And yet what?
I would like to know. I would be curious. You, the female.
What?
You know what's inside.
Yes.
Tell me.
No.
Tell me!
You've won, Dog Bolter. You've got the something, and you're going to kill us. But I'm damned if I'm going to tell you what's inside as well. If you want to know, look for yourself.
No.
Or not. Whatever you want. I don't care anymore. Neither of us do. Do we, Frobisher?
Well, it would be... Ow! Oh! No, 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 we don't care.
Well, I suppose one look won't do any harm. You, Frobisher, open it.
Why me?
Open it! I don't want to open it, you open it. Might be a bomb, or a snake. Or something that leaps out and kills you very messily. No, you open it. You open it now.
I looked across at Alicia, and she didn't dare look back. But she squeezed my hand ever so slightly.
All right.
Well?
It's a computer chip. Just a little computer chip.
Let me see.
And now what are you going to do?
Destroy it. Keep it. I don't know.
What do you think could be on?
I don't know.
What do you imagine could be there?
I don't imagine.
Coming soon imagine from Big Finish Productions.
At least without a feasibility.
Sarah Jane Smith. What
do you... Yes, of course. Sarah Jane Smith.
What do you imagine?
Dear Miss Smith. You have 24 hours to find
the truth. Do we, Alicia?
We don't care at
all.
Otherwise,
all of London will suffer the same fate.
Damn you! Damn the pair of you! I'll see to myself.
Hi, Leslie. I really need to talk to you.
You come this far and not
know. Can you hold it out of me? Is it going to help?
I must.
She's a bit special,
my curiosity.
She's also my guardian angel.
Joshua Richard Townsend, age 24.
This is Josh Townsend. He's a very good friend of mine.
Typical you.
It's always Sarah Jane knows best.
Yeah, well, who's being paranoid now?
A group of New Age travellers claim they were illegally evicted from a disused London Underground station last night.
Yes,
the group's leader, Eleanor Martin, says she intends to appeal to the authorities.
There are no words appearing on the screen.
Small village, weird locals, dodgy squire. Usual stuff.
You don't have to be crazy to
come visit old Clute's werewolf and experience its reality for yourself. Everything will be clear. You will have no more questions.
I lost nearly everything. I had
no bank balance because Hotepaw had friends in high places. Do you know what it's like to be a nobody in today's society?
There's someone from Planet 3 being looking for you.
A little colour in their eyes.
Something to
cheer them up.
And get their imaginations blazing.
What have you done?
It's what you did,
Doctor.
I
saw you in St. James Park and remembered you from the Planet 3 program. Thought you could help.
I want to welcome you to this, the first day of our International Summit for Peaceful World Collaboration.
I'm still troubled by the use to which this will be put. When I agreed to this, I never realized what it would be like.
What freaked you out?
The room went ice cold. Now was this terrible noise. A white light.
And may the forces of oppression, hatred, and warmongering be forever banished.
What are you saying?
What have you done to the economy?
I've never seen a ghost.
What have you done to my property?
Sarah, you still haven't phoned.
It's an unstable market.
Well, you know that, so I suppose you must know how worried you're making me. Sarah, where are you?
In a place like Morton Harwood, you don't get to slip away quietly.
Back to London, then.
Back to London.
Adieu.
And the beginning of the end for Sarah Jane Smith.
And I began to wish for one of those nick-of-time rescues. The sort that never happen in Private Eye stories, worse luck. Only in science fiction nonsense.
Also available from Big Finish Productions, Doctor Who, the Excellus Trilogy.
I am Greyborn.
What's going on? Who's taking potshots at my TARDIS?
As the ice started to recede, I rode forth to the highest mountain in the world.
Idiot. Don't think I'm not grateful, Doc, but for the last time, this is my case. And
Doctor,
I'm the one who's going to finish it.
Who is this dreadful woman?
I'll be inside.
She's a very old acquaintance of mine.
Acquaintance? Doc Bolter has escaped. You don't understand. I haven't set all this up simply to see him escape.
No, you're right. I don't understand. How about you take a moment to explain it to me?
Frobisher, let me go.
I've been shot at, knocked out, and made to sit on uncomfortable plastic chairs all because of you.
There's an object in
there. And I have had it up to here. You've used me from the start, haven't you?
Blimey.
Yes,
it must have been
truth.
Up all night coming up with that name.
Did you
Irish
kill
wild
Arthur
time,
Grimrex?
And no you Arthur are trespassing Grimrex. On the trial plateau of
I disguised
of
myself as one of Doug Bolter's workers simply to wet his curiosity and make him
I'm trespassing too.
Does this
you
museum have any dinosaurs? I love
any
dinosaurs.
Disguise, lady.
I must
have managed that.
Because
there was a
break-in
here last night and the museum is closed until the wardens have completed their investigation.
A break-in, eh?
Well, then perhaps I can help.
But I am quite experienced in such matters.
Now,
I do know you were
just
in
for a moment,
body,
I
always like.
Truly
I set you up to make sure
this
you
is supposed to be a world with no technology, and aren't barbarians meant to be hairy, smelly, and stupid?
Bloodstain!
Oh, come on, Jenny
that
Somerville!
Was you too,
you
wasn't
soon
it?
Pick
that's
it up,
right.
Benny. I have
really
made us stronger.
When you
I have personally overseen research into the technology of our ancestors.
The scarred survivors of the war want one thing and one thing only. The final. The destruction of Excellus and of our
and
holy
for
relic.
Excellus
is awash with
a new
sense of
spiritualism.
Only last year, the Eastern Slavs prostitute murderer was identified
and
hanged.
Better than the cynical private eye he pretends to
be. Never heard anything so ridiculous.
The murders stopped.
I couldn't have defeated
Perhaps
Doc
you'll be more productive in preparing for the etheric minister. He'll be conducting the seance personally.
Seance?
Us?
You are always a clever as
Seamus
communication.
That's what drove us apart.
You're not supposed to. Haven't you heard the phrase
but
that dead men tell no tales?
The balance of Excellus has been disturbed.
You know,
something
I've stayed a penguin all these years.
Manifested.
Just to remind
something
myself of you.
Love
is
the
game has finally begun. Soon.
That is not.
Now. After all these centuries. Soon
I felt a beak and a dark plumage against me as she pulled
the
me closer.
The whole of Archerus is waiting.
And I remember how it was
awaits us.
When the world seemed more innocent and less cynical, and we were just two penguin-shaped shapeshifters with eyes only for each other. And I was hardly surprised when we finally let go that I too had changed into a penguin again.
Come with me in the TARDIS.
Oh, Froby, I've got my own battles to fight. I vowed to bring Dog Bolter to justice, and I will.
Then I'll stay and help you.
No, darling. If you don't get aboard that ship, you'll regret it. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. But soon, and for the rest of your life.
What, you mean our problems don't add up to a hill of beans in this crazy universe?
Something like that.
Goodbye, Francine. And take care of yourself.
Ah, there you are, Frobisher.
Did you have fun?
It was a bit confusing, but there were some laughs along the way.
Are you sure you want to leave?
Some philosophers say that on these mean streets of life, friendship is an illusion. Where death lurks around every corner, the only man you can trust is yourself. But I say, what the hey? Some philosophers just don't know how to have fun.
Yeah, let's go. You know, Doc, I think this could be the continuation of a beautiful friendship.